The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria, Info Lagos. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Yes, we're back as promised on the second part of Dailies today. We're live on Facebook and on YouTube. Just search for Nigeria Info 99.3 and you would be able to watch us live on those two platforms. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
So we have the papers here already. Please come along. As we go along, please drop your comments on our live stream. We'd like to hear from you. Today, let's start with the Vanguard newspaper, page 5. Presidency, Tinubu, Atiku, trade words over health, credibility, status.
Yes, morning, Sheriff. I'm morning, everybody. Yes, this thing is gradually becoming a farce. The political terrain is becoming a farce because this is like the cats calling the portal black. But I don't want to go into so much into what has been said.
Yeah.
Rather, let's look at what we can see. I think there is no doubt in my mind that visibly two of the candidates, of the major candidates, have what I would call health considerations, which, if were they to be employed, would have just crossed them out. You know, one of them is particularly bad because at every public outing, a cannon is dropped, sometimes verbal, sometimes physical. And I want us to take this thing seriously and not think of being partisan. He hates him or hates him. No, I love my country. So should everybody. It is sad that, you know, an African country where we have our culture, where we have elders, we have people sitting back and watching this farce that we're doing play out. Not considering what I said yesterday, that one of my greatest fears is not even so much the election, but of the candidates. You know, how would they actually be in a position to run the country? And no candidate is exempted. None is exempted. I think that we need to get some elders together, Mekanyaku, Bishop Kuka, top northerners, you know, west, south, south, Chief Clark, and so on and so forth. Somebody needs to put Professor Wole Soyinka and take us out of this farce that we're looking at. It's no longer, we can no longer pretend as if we don't have that crisis on our hands. It is obvious that Ashiwaju, he has health challenges. You can't debate that. A clanger is dropped at every opportunity. It's also very clear that Atiku himself has health challenges. And what we have in front of us, the problem we have in front of us demands that we should have a hands-on president. I sometimes wonder what legacy President Buhari thinks he will be leaving if he had to hand over to any of these two guys. Hand over an ailing country to an ailing president. It is time for us to talk brass tacks. We call on our elders. Professor Wole Soyinka is close to 90. Alhaji Femi Okuno. Chief Afe Babalola. Emekan Yaku. You know, Bishop Kuka. One or two elders in the Northern Elders Forum, I can't put their names together. It is time we had elders come out and give a statement like it happened in the time of the Patriots. Don't just sit back on the fence and watch this country drift. Let's cut out the politics. He hates him, he likes him. Cut out all that childish jargon we have in the social media. And let's get serious and know that we have a country to run 6 months from now that is in a terrible parlous state. You know, that is a terrible parlous state. You know, because when you look at the whole scenario, we're all, Sheriff, we're all living out a farce here. You know, okay, let me just read a bit of what is being said, because some people, Tinubu has issued a statement by Bayon Onoga and said that Atiku must come clean on issues regarding his health and corruption allegations. He should look in the mirror. The same applies to him. I'm not going to shy away from saying the truth. He should look in the mirror. The same applies to him. And so this brings back the PDP to are saying, oh, the failing health and so on. So in between all this that is going on, we, the rats and the grass, and the lot of their supporters are the ones who are going to suffer this if we continue along this path. You know, this morning calls for reflection, and I would plead with all these little kids in the social media abuse and so on and so forth, to sit back before they tweet anything. We are talking of the lives of, how many are we now? Let us even say
over 200.
We are talking of the lives of 200 million people. We are talking of the lives of a nation. In one of the stories we have here now, two stories caught my attention. One is I think Buhari's comment about coups. The other one is how the military are living in droves. That the army had to raise an alarm that they are going to have to up the ante for reasons for discharging. This country is going apart. Nurses, doctors, everybody is going. So my appeal this morning is, please, elder statesmen, don't sit on the fence. Don't watch this country drift. We had an ailing Abacha. We had an ailing Yar'Adua. I mean, God, for God's sake. That's my reaction this morning. I'm sorry if I've ruffled a few feathers, but I think that, in all honesty, it is time we stop all this politicking. We know we are not stupid. It's there for you to see. And like Chief Obasa just said, it's left to you young people to take your life into your hands. It's up to you. Democracy is about the will of the majority. But the truth is, if the majority take a wrong decision, the majority, the minority, and the bystanders and everybody, we are all going to swim or sink in it. If you think that is the money that you are making now to go and buy a 22-year-old Tokumbo with brand new tires, if what is going to sail you through the next, don't forget that the next president is likely to hang on for another 4 years.
That's a long time in the life of a
country. That's a long time in the life of a human being. If you divide the number of years you have spent on life by 8, what does it give you?
I have a message here from one individual, Ali Naya. Ali Naya said, and it's an instructive message here. He said, hello, 90% of our citizens don't mean well for this country. We all know who the cap fit to bring this country back to track, but we're keeping quiet. Hypocrisy everywhere. And we know who is sick and who is not sick, but we decide to ignore the truth.
The people who don't mean well the most. When I'm going to be very blunt this morning, and I'm going to take off my kid gloves. When people accuse me of hating some guy, he hates him, his hatred and so on. You guys are the guys who are urging this man on. You are the ones who hate him. Here you have a gentleman who has contributed a lot to them. Whatever you think about him, he's contributed a lot to democracy. Half of you who are shouting now are there because of one favor or the other he did for you. And his payback time, you want to push him. Even if he does become president, what kind of president would he be? Look at the level of ridicule that we have. Look at the strain on his health. I can imagine the strain on his wife and family. And you keep urging this man on. You are the most wicked people on the face of the earth. That's what it is. And I think it's about time we told ourselves some home truth. We shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be. I sometimes wonder, with the kind of insults and the kind of things that we see, what kind of president are we then going to have? You know, what kind of, if you love somebody, if my son were to contest in such a situation, or if I was going to contest in such a situation, I know the children that I have. They will publicly disown me. I might get angry in the short run. But then go and ask Babangida what it is for people to be loyal to you. Babangida is alive now. He's hopped on the plane. He's going for medicals and will be back after the election.
That's right.
He wouldn't have been there if the likes of Ogbeha and David Mark had not been loyal to him and told him, Oga, it's time to go. That is what is called loyalty. Not loyalty when you push somebody to the brink and subject him to public ridicule.
On the contrary, an individual here, Solomon, seemed to think that you're obsessed with Tinubu.
I'm not obsessed with him. Now that you've mentioned his name, let me clear that very, very well. I am his best friend. Are you people that are urging him on, would you do the same thing to your own fathers or your uncles? You can see that the man has difficulties. If you have a friend and he's obsessed with something, it's your duty to manage him. I'm not obsessed with him. I'm also obsessed, though, let me quickly say, with the thought of him in his current state. I'm not talking of what he did I don't want to have an argument on what he did, but I am petrified in you know, what it would be like if you put him in the saddle. It is clear he's not fit. It's not a matter for argument. I'm not just going to sit down and argue for people. People need to understand. I'm very, very selfish about the well-being of this country.
Well, some opposition politicians will say that perhaps you're speaking in their favor. Members of the APC will probably think that you're demarcating their candidates.
This issue, we are not talking candidacy here. We are talking Nigeria. Which one is more important? You remember, Sheriff, in this studio, I had warned that watch what the politicians would do. It's time we told ourselves some truths. There are people who are in a better physical condition to run this country that in the APC than the man. It's not taking him down. It's something that is obvious. And then you sit back and you allow people make, what do they call them, cartoon strips and videos and whatever out of the various mistakes that he makes in public presentation. Is he in a state, for example, to give a 15-minute talk in the United Nations? What are we talking about? Let's get down and have a real sensible argument, devoid of sentiments. Mm. It's high time we told ourselves, and I'm glad that this is coming from them. If he's worried about Atiku's state of health, and Atiku is worried about his state of health, we are worried about the state of health of the two of them.
Mm. Let's go to the Vanguard now. Let's go to page 13 of the Vanguard. Army headquarters to soldiers will no longer approve resignations due to insecurity.
Again, we are going to tell the army some home truths. Sometime last year, I had some veterans here who fought in the Nigerian Civil War and were still fighting for their allowances. So I think that you should be glad for anybody who even wants to leave, so you have less people to contend with. There is no doubt in my mind that the way things have been handled, the morale of those in the military would not be low. I mean, if somebody during the Civil War ended in 1970-71, if they can't get their allowances after putting their life on the line, so every soldier might be asking himself, what am I doing here? The army should go back and tidy up its affairs. We appreciate them as an institution. We appreciate them. We know the difficulties they face, but hey, give me a break. Soldiers who fought during the Civil War retired in the 70s. Till date, haven't gotten their full allowances. That's not good enough. So the army needs to work on the morale. And then, you know, the optics of having to jail generals or probe them for X amount and that amount, where you want people to go and put their lives on the line, also needs to be looked into.
Yeah,
we can't run away from these things. So, because apparently what we have here is that the authorities of the Nigerian Army have warned soldiers and officers applying for voluntary discharge or resignation from the force as a result of sundry issues, including stagnation in rank, non-rotation after spending over number of years in theaters of operation, among others, as such requests will no longer be granted. The army should find out why this is happening in the first instance. Are you following the laid down regulations? What amount of politicking is going on in the army? To what extent is what is going on outside the military, to what extent is it affecting the military itself on the inside? Because these people are human beings. They are human beings. When we talk about nepotism and things like that, how badly is the army affected on the inside? And this, of course, would apply to the other forces. So my advice to them is to tidy up. Look, we also need to have this habit of appreciation, not just of appreciating people. I was in tears here when I was talking to these three or four veterans who are here, that the reason why I'm sitting in this chair is because these people put their lives on the line. How have they been appreciated? I did the little that I could. But the country itself should show appreciation, you know, to those who do this. I don't want to expand it beyond this. I think the point is well noted. And this is a case of physician heal thyself. They should go and get themselves repaired internally.
Right. And something is very worrisome there. If the army decides to keep those who their minds, body, and soul are no more, you know, with the military, what then happens?
your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah?
There are two things that worry me when it comes to these things. The two things that worry me is the way the politicians are conducting themselves. We need to tell ourselves the home truth. Mm. Those of us who have been through these things before, watching politicians deteriorate up to a point and a coup, and the subsequent coup, who have been through that, and also other governments like that, we know how these things happen. And then look at Africa, what's going on? Nigeria might not be an exception. You might sit back and say the logistics don't permit it, but you never know desperate people what they would do. They could cause mayhem, and be satisfied with doing just that.
Yeah.
And one of the best ways to prevent all these things is good governance and good hope for the people. It's good hope for the people.
Let me take our next story, this time from The Punch. It's in The Punch on page 12, to be very specific. Rising cases of coups in Africa worry Buhari.
Yes, that was the story I was talking about, and I think we referred to it in a veiled manner now. He hosted a delegation of the Universal Peace Federation at the presidential villa, Abuja. The Punch reports that Africa recorded, I didn't even know, listen to what I'm going to say here.
Okay, sir.
That Africa recorded at least 48 coups and coup attempts since 2010.
48? Democracy is in tatters.
Yeah. And heaven help us. I'm not advocating, of course not. But the truth must also be told that we should have this fear at the back of our mind. We must tell these politicians, the truth must be told, that we must have this at the back of our mind. It might not succeed. It could lead to only God knows what. But hey, we need to tidy up. What we are seeing now in this country isn't the democracy that a lot of people fought about, including the practitioners themselves. And who are the countries that have been affected? Listen to this. Since the start of the Buhari regime in 2015 alone, 24 coups and coup attempts have been reportedly carried out, leading to unstable regimes and destabilized economies. I don't think Nigerians should just sit back and pray that it's not their portion.
That's troubling, actually.
You got to do something. And then it says the countries where these things have happened, Burundi, Burkina Faso, Central African Republic, Libya, Gambia, Zimbabwe, Equatorial Guinea, Gabon, Sudan, Ethiopia, Mali, Tunisia, Guinea-Bissau, Mali, Sao Tome and Principe. Wondering why some African countries are still descending into unconstitutional regime change, Buhari said, "I thought we had finally put that behind us." Mr. President, we haven't. You need to talk to your fellow politicians. We haven't. They need to get serious and put the consideration of the progress of this country in the front burner, rather than think of themselves alone. That is the task you have to do. The task before Mr. President, sir, after 8 years, people might argue your 8 years were good or they were bad, whatever it is. The legacy that will seal everything, good or bad, is your handover process. Not so much that the elections should be seen to be free and fair, but the legacy of who you hand over to is very important. I think the president should know that. Okay? And in the remarks, the president described the interests of the Universal Peace Federation of Africa in the continent as quite genuine. And in their remarks, Chairperson of the Federation, Dr. Catherine Rigney, and Chairman of the Universal Peace Federation, Dr. Thomas Wall, said they believe the forthcoming summit in Nigeria will top them all, having held meetings in the past in Niger Republic, Senegal, and so on and so forth. I hope they will tell Nigerians some home truths at that seminar.
All righty. Let's stay with the Punch newspaper. This time we're on page 26. Yoruba Nation, Akintoye withdraws resignation, dissolves factions.
I never knew you could withdraw.
Right.
he resigned and then the resignation is withdrawn. Well, I just need to tell the Yoruba Nation that, in all honesty, if you have the hope of achieving your aim in any manner, even in the smallest manner ever, you need to tidy up your affairs. You need to tidy up your affairs. You need, you know, you need to get what you call get corporate. These things can be done in, you know, self-determination can be achieved in a haphazard manner for the showing of bows and arrows and guns and charms and so on and so forth. It takes a lot of thinking. It takes a lot of planning. Most importantly, you must be sure. You must be absolutely sure that you have a larger percent of the population you claim to represent along with you, or else it will turn out to one big fuss. But this is just to let you know that Professor Akintoye is back in the driver's seat of the Omodua worldwide.
We're going to move on to Daily Trust now, and this sad story is here on page 24. Girl commits suicide after parents caned her in Niger.
Now, this story looks quite innocent and is hidden in one of the pages, but it sets me thinking. We need to find out why Nigerians always want to commit suicide at the least, how would I put it now? At the least, stop looking at me.
Maybe difficult times.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Why do we, the other day we saw a video, did you see it, of the man, elderly man, who jumped in the water at on Third Mainland Bridge?
No, I didn't see that.
The video went viral.
I didn't see that.
How the person they were trying to beg the man not to jump in, and somebody still had the whatever to hold the camera and shoot that incident. But this is a 13-year-old, and she hung herself in the parents' compound in Lambata. She was scolded and caned by her mother early in the day over some items seen in her possession. I don't know what the items are. That she bought the items with 1,000 naira given to her by one of her uncles, which later turned out to be untrue. You know, parents' discipline. Where did you get this? So the mom beat her, and then what did she do? She hung herself. May her soul rest in peace, and heaven help us all. That is the country that we're living in now.
Right.
At the slightest opportunity, people are ready to run under the train, commit suicide, drink, I almost called the brand name, that famous rat poison, and so on and so forth.
But what does this say about parenting as well? Is there a connection between this and parenting?
I don't think it's... These incidents have more to do with the larger society, because the parent actually did what she thought was right. And unless I get to know that the child was brutalized, just caned her for having 1,000 naira she shouldn't have. That's the kind of discipline we grew up on.
Yeah.
But that was taking jail in here. I believe you.
I believe you. Totally.
You the thief?
I know the thief.
You know the thief?
I know the thief.
Authority still in.
You
beat.
I know the thief. You robber. Let's take this editorial. Punch has his editorial here that says Ogun couples killers must not go free. You remember that story?
I remember that story. I also remember Dele Giwa. I also remember Bola Ige. I also remember Funchal Williams. I also remember Chief Harry, the gentleman that was killed in the river. So many murders that haven't been. So this is the thing is, there's a general feeling. I have that feeling here that if you're not caught at the scene of a crime, you're likely to get away with it. If you are not caught at the scene of the crime, I don't know in what state our forensics are. I don't even know how politicized the section of the police, you know, given that responsibility. I don't know how politicized they are. If we couldn't, as at now, find out who killed an attorney general, who killed Funchal Williams, who killed Dele Giwa with a bomb, many, many years. The good thing about policing in other climes, in the UK, the US, is if it takes 50 years, somebody is going to grab you. Here, if you are not caught on the spot. So, the punch argues, and I agree with them, that the incident must not go unsolved. For those of you who don't know, the man was burnt with his wife and child, I think.
The son was taken away.
Okay.
Then he was found dead with his legs, his hands tied.
I think it's a revenge mission, really. This is outright murder. There's no case, there's no this thing about that. But as we speak, nothing yet. So the point argues that it is crucial to remind the police that every murder case deserves urgency. And they also say that it is urgent for the police to reopen and revisit past cases of assassinations in the country and bring them to a closure. They talk about Bola Ige, like I said. They talk about Alfred Iwane. Oh, yes. Alfred Iwane in 1995. They talk about Harry Marshall. they talk about Harry Dikibo, they talk about Ayo Daramola, and they talk about our own gentleman in Lagos, our own Omoluabi, Funchal Williams, who was also killed in 2006. You know, he's so rest in peace. Again, a reflection. This is a morning for reflection. I'm not going to go argue with anybody in the social media on this. It's a morning for sober reflection. And for us, we still have a slim chance to get things right. And if we don't want to do so, we will live with the consequences. Elders, young, and children unborn alike. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for the very heated analysis this morning.
What do you mean heated?
So thank you for the very nice analysis this morning.
I don't want it nice.
Okay, thank you for the analysis this morning. I have one here.
Nah, don't worry, your tea. Your tea is watery. You not get money by milk.
Can you see the foam? Can you see the foam on top?
Tea is not supposed to have foam. It's not supposed to have foam. You're using bad water.
See the foam. Okay. He defend them. As he defend them, he defeat us. We have to go.
Because of what you just done. Good morning, everybody.
We have to go. Good morning.
When I finish downloading this show like this, I will go.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, they're fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a